Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. Now, this is going to be the last in our series of people that were filled with the Holy Spirit. We're not going to be in the book of Acts today. We've gone through the book of Acts pretty much. I could have added some more places. I just try to focus on the places where they said they were filled with the Holy Ghost, right? That's what I was trying to focus on mostly, on those times, so we could get a proper understanding about what a Spirit-filled person would look like. And we saw both the gifts of the Spirit, and we saw the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I spent a 8 weeks, or not 8 weeks, but 8 services, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, going through the fruit of the Spirit one by one. And all of those messages, if you missed any of them, they're all up on our website, the audio, or if you want to watch the video, if you just can't get enough looking at my face, you can go to Rumble and they're all there too. So either way, you can go to the church website and look under preaching, and all the messages are listed there. Brother, I believe you got the ones that for that series on the fruit of the Spirit, you got that off to the side right as well, where you can see that. So if you just go to the church webpage, www.graceandtruthbaptist.org, it's on the gospel tracks that we put out. So you go there, you can listen to the audio. But if you go to Rumble, to Grace and Truth Baptist Church on Rumble, you find that there. Our page there in Rumble is just like YouTube. It's just a different platform, and they don't censor anybody. That's why we went there. I don't want to be censored by YouTube, and I don't want to fuss with all that foolishness. So we put it there so that way we could live stream and we could upload messages as we want it to. But if you want to see the actual message and everything like that, and watch the video, you can do that too. But all of those messages are there, and they're important. They're all part of a series. They all go together. So if you missed any of them and you want to go through them and you want to listen to them, I'd encourage you to do that. I did not do anything, a special thing, on the gifts of the Spirit, because that's something that we're going to do today, and I'm just going to focus not on all. I'm not going to go through all the gifts of the Spirit and what they are and what they might be or what they could be and which ones are for today and which ones aren't or all that type of stuff. I'm not worried about all that type of argument, all right? There's a lot of argument going on about that today, and you know, one of the things the devil is trying to do is to get us to be afraid of spiritual gifts. He's trying to get us to be afraid of these things. Because we look at the excesses, and he's built a narrative among believers that you either have to be one or the other. You have to believe in certain gifts are passed away, or you have to be all in with the charismatic movement and believe everything they say. And there's a lot of things that they say. I mean, we've looked at tongues in the Bible, right? And every place we found tongues in the Bible, in the book of Acts, we found it there, and we found that it is very clearly known languages. There's no angelic tongue, and people have taken the one statement by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, it profited me nothing, right? I'm like sounding brass or tinkling cymbal, right? And so they've taken that one verse in a line of rhetorical speaking, and they built an entire doctrine of it, of their idea of praying in tongues and everything like that. And that's the voice of that God gives everybody an angelic tongue to pray in. And they want to equate praying in the Holy Ghost, which, by the way, we are all commanded to do. Right? They've equated that with praying in an unknown tongue. And then, of course, when you ask what tongue it is, it's an angelic tongue, so they don't know what tongue it is. And God gives everybody their special prayer language. There's nowhere in the Bible that supports that. There's absolutely no scripture in the Bible that can support that. And I'm not doubting anybody's sincerity. I'm just saying there's no... There is clearly in a Bible where he says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? And the simple answer to every one of those questions is no. And so, but I don't want to get into all of that. That's not the point of this message today. Because one of the things the devil does not want is he does not want spirit-filled Christians. He does not want people that are filled with the Holy Ghost. He does not want people that believe God and believe what God says about this. And I want to give you, which in my estimation in this day and age, may possibly be the most important passage on this issue of spiritual gifts that this generation needs to hear. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now God is saying to us that He does not want us to be ignorant about this subject. And the problem was the Corinthians... That Corinthian church, like we today, they were ignorant. By and large, most professing Christians are ignorant when it comes to being filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now when he says no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, he's not talking about saying the words. I mean, we have people that are lost as a billy goat. Come Christmas time, they're singing all kind of things about Jesus being the Lord, aren't they? So he's not just talking about mouthing the words Jesus is Lord. He's talking about you saying that Jesus is the Lord and truly meaning it and believing it. That's what he's talking about. But he said, no man can call Jesus accursed. Speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So you had a problem there. These were people who had, if you go back and you ever study the ancient mythologies and the religious practices of the Romans and the Greeks and the people of that day and the different cults and the different things that they had, there was a lot of demonic influence in all of that, just like there is today, by the way. And they were caught up into these things, and they had their own version of tongues. They had their own version and by the way, a lot of those pagan religions still do today. I will say that they had their own version these ideas that they would get caught up by the spirit of their gods and they would lose all control. And remember, we read that passage when we were talking about the fruit of the Spirit being temperance. And he was talking about the fact that they were all wanting to get up and say something and all prophesy and all do this. And he told them, he said, things need to be done decently in order. And he said, the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. In other words, God's not going to force you to do everything. All right? God's not going to force himself on you and force you where you lose all control. God's going to speak to your heart and say, this is what I want you to do, and you're going to have to make a choice. Whether you're going to yield or not. That's the way the Spirit of God works. And so they were caught up by dumb idols as they were led. And he said, I want you to understand something. So if they were getting up saying that Jesus was accursed, something was wrong. He's trying to get them to understand the work of the Spirit. All right. So no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. In other words, nobody's going to truly say Jesus is Lord until they're born again. That's what he's talking about. You must be born again. And so when we look at that, now he says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now, here's an interesting thing. He says there's diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. There's diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now, if I were to go further into this passage of Scripture, and we would go in and study all of these, you would find a simple thing. You would find, for example, you would find a passage in there where when he's talking about all these spiritual gifts, and specifically about speaking in tongues and in prophesying and all these things, he said that the women should keep silence in the church. It's not permitted unto them to speak. And that's not saying a woman can't talk in church. It's talking about specific context. It's talking about prophesying, which is literally bringing forth the Word of God. Right? However, we see women in the Scripture that are prophecy, that prophesy. We just read last week about Philip the evangelist, the one that led the Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord. Alright? He's there in Caesarea, and Paul goes to Caesarea and goes to his house while he's on his way to Rome, or before he gets his way to Rome. And he had seven daughters which were virgins which did prophesy. But where did they prophesy? In his house. Can a woman have the gift of prophecy? Absolutely. But there's differences of administration and differences of operation. There are places where certain things are appropriate, places where certain things are not, because God has ordained them that way, and He has a plan, a purpose. He's trying to show a picture. Right? God's trying to show something to the world through the church, and that's why He puts these restrictions in place. Just like Moses. The first time God came, when God brought water out of the rock, He told Moses to go up and smite the rock. He smote it once. And water came out. When they needed water again, they got back around there. God said, speak to the rock, that it bring forth water. Moses was supposed to go up and say, rock, we need water. And God said, give us water. But he didn't do that. He got mad because of their murmuring and complaining. And he lost that characteristic meekness that he had. And he got up there and he smote that rock three times and said, here you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? And it cost him from going into the promised land, didn't it? Because he didn't sanctify the Lord before the eyes of the people. And so when we look at the rules of the church, and that's just one of many, there are certain things, everything's supposed to be done decently in order, and there are certain things that he says that we're supposed to do. We go through and we read those rules. The simple fact is, as we read those rules and the things he sets down, they have a purpose. And it's not for us to decide whether God's purpose is a good one or a bad one. But I got news for you, they're all good. So, but the bottom line is, we look at that, and I've had people say, well, the Bible says in Christ there's neither bond nor free, neither Jew nor Greek, neither male nor female, and that's true. But you don't use Scripture to negate another Scripture. It's the height of wickedness to use the Bible to throw out another part of the Bible. And I know that's pretty strong language, but it's true. So there's a lot of things we can talk about. But notice, why do I focus on that? Because if we're going to use these gifts, each of us has a proper context in which to use that gift. Because we're all different. I'm a pastor. I'm called to preach. You kick me out the door right now, I'm going to go find a place to preach, because I know God's called me to preach, and I'm going to preach regardless. I'll find a way. You cut my tongue out, you're going to have to chop my fingers off. I'm going to do something to get the Word of God out, because that's and by the way, pastors and teachers, that's a gift. So that's what God has done. And so when I read it, but there's a proper context. I know a lot of men that may have a gift, but for some reason they can't exercise it in the office of a pastor. That doesn't negate the gift. It's just a different operation, just a different administration. Just a different context, if you will. But then verse 7, and this is where I want to get to. Verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And then he goes down and gives a list. For by one is given by the Spirit, and this list that he's given is not exhaustive. He's just given things that they talk about. He talks about other things. He talks about other things that, further down in the chapter. Adds other gifts and things like that. But he says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. All right, so the Spirit divides to every man severally as he will. And we can sit there and we can talk about these gifts and what's for today and what's not, or whether they're all for today or some are, or whatever. There are some people who believe none of these gifts are for today. All right, but the bottom line is, that is not the point. Because the Spirit of God, as we've already seen, is not just about the gifts of the Spirit, is it? It's also about the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? But it says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, every person, if you will, to profit withal. It is a benefit to you, and it is a benefit to your brothers and sisters in the Lord, that you manifest the Spirit of God, and the work of the Spirit of God is manifest in your life. It is a profit not just to you, and not just to your brothers and sisters in Christ, but it's also a profit to the lost and dying world. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And when we talk about a manifestation, we could focus on all these gifts, and we could focus on sign gifts and things like that. We can focus on prophecy and preaching and things like that. We can focus on all these different gifts that are listed here. But the simple fact is that these are not the only gifts, as I've already stated. There are other things that are there. He talks in verse 28. And God set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. He adds two or three in there, doesn't he? We can talk about all those things. And whatever that gift is, it's going to be what God gives you. But God gives the manifestation of the Spirit, both in spiritual gifts and the fruit of the Spirit, so that you can profit. Therefore, it's not for a select few. It is for every believer. Now, the problem is, we shy away from it, and that's what the devil wants us to do. We don't seek to be Spirit-filled like we're supposed to. We don't seek to have God work in us and through us. And once again, this is not about feelings. Not against feelings. But I was talking Wednesday night when we were doing we're live streaming the last message. I was talking about Thomas Hawk and how he sat there and he made the promise that if the grace of God was sufficient to abide the flames when they were burning him at the stake, that he would clap over his head three times. And I'll tell you what, he had a lot of feelings there. I mean, just think of the injustice. You're being persecuted for doing nothing but good. And the people that are persecuting you are calling good evil and evil good. And then they're assaulting you, putting you in prison, and then tying you up to a stake to burn you alive. Which is probably one of the most excruciating forms of dying there is, as far as pain goes. And he's got people out there that are mocking him and laughing at him and cursing him and screaming for his death. And yet, through all that he's feeling, he's committed himself to the Lord, and he's able to lift his hands up in the flame and clap his hands over, saying that the grace of God was sufficient. You say, why did he have to clap his hands? Because it was common during that time when people were serving the Lord and were on fire, truly on fire for God and yielded to the Spirit, they would be persecuted, they would do that, and they'd be preaching the gospel to the people that were around them while they were dying. That's an amazing thing. I forget the fellow's name, but there's a story of a fellow who we've all heard the story of Horatio Spafford, whose daughters died on a ship that called the Le Havre that sank, much like the Titanic did. And we got that song, "It Is Well With My Soul." He began to write it when he was over the place where his daughters had drowned. He was on his way to get his wife in England because she had been rescued. And she sent him that telegram saying, "Saved alone." His daughters had died. And if you go look at the story of Horatio Spafford, you know, that great loss didn't deter him. He ended up going to Israel as a missionary. And working there and lost other children too. He'd already lost a child in the fire. in a fire before, I believe, and lost everything in the Great Fire of Chicago. And I saw, I mean, you go on the things that had happened to him, but somehow through all that things, and you know there are a lot of feelings. What would you do if you lost three children in a day? Had already lost another child, lost one on the mission field, lost everything. You were a successful businessman, lost everything. How would you feel? Well, there'd be a lot of feeling there, wouldn't it? But amazingly, we got a hymn out of him that is probably, if you understand the context, one of the most touching and fantastic hymns you could ever listen to. There was the Titanic. There was a preacher on the Titanic who was in the water. And they have a recording of a man who was rescued, that and people that were rescued, that said as the tides and the waves brought him near people, he would tell them, ask them if they were saved, and he would be preaching to them, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I forget the man's name. I'd have to go back and look it up. But there he is in the freezing water and he's preaching to people. Boy, that's the kind of filled with the Holy Ghost we need. I'm just simply saying, when we talk about this, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. It's for every one of us. It's there. It's not a matter of how you feel. I'm not against you having feelings. And matter of fact, a lot of times there are things that may provoke your feelings. We're emotional creatures, right? We are emotional creatures. Our emotions get stirred by different stimulus. That's not necessarily a bad thing. And it's not bad to have your emotions stirred by the Spirit of God. That's a good thing. However, your emotions are not the Spirit. Your emotions are just your emotions. And if your emotions carry you away, then you got a problem. Because you're not supposed to be led by your emotions, you're supposed to be led by the Spirit. And I guarantee you, those people had a lot of emotions going through them. But the other thing is, you see, you had the Spirit of God. And what I want you to understand when we talk about this being filled with the Holy Ghost is that the Spirit of, if you're saved, the manifestation of the Spirit, the display, if you will, of the Spirit in your life is given to you to profit. That's what God wants to do. It's given for your profit. It's given for the profit of your brothers and sisters. It's given for the profit of a lost and dying world. It's given to every man to profit withal. In other words, it's all inclusive. That's why it's so important that we learn to be Spirit-filled. And we have to learn to be Spirit-filled. We have to learn to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. To say yes to God when He speaks to our heart. To say yes to the Spirit of God when the preaching is going on and God reaches down and touches you with conviction. Whether it be conviction of sin or whether it be conviction to action. You know, we always talk about conviction of sin, don't we? Oh, I was convicted of sin. Oh, the preacher was preaching and they were convicted of sin, and that's not a bad thing. But there's another type of conviction. You see, I said earlier, I know I'm called to be a preacher. I know that's a conviction, by the way. God put that conviction in my heart. And people go to the mission field and they say, this is the place that God wants me to go. That's a conviction. I've been doing this, I'll do it no more. That's a conviction. I have haven't been doing this. I need to go and do this. I need to witness. I need to go down the line. That's a conviction. But the Spirit of God speaks to us with conviction, and we need to say yes. We need to humble ourselves and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Father. And this issue of being filled with the Holy Ghost needs to become a conviction. It needs to be something that we say, you know what? We need this. The people need to see the work of the Spirit of God in my life. We need this. Now, I go back to verse 1, and God says, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. And then he goes down to verse 7, he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. I mean, that's every man, that's everybody. All right? And it says that, verse 11, all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Right? And it says, but now hath God set the members every one in the of them in the body as it hath pleased him. Verse 18. Alright? And so, whatever the case may be, and then we get down to verse 28, and God hath set some in the church, first apostle, secondly. All of these things are on the Lord. It's not pick and choose. It's not take an aptitude test. It's not anything like that. You have certain natural aptitudes which may or may not have anything to do with your spiritual gift. This is a fact. You have certain talents, and you're to use those talents in God's service. That's why they were given to you. But you can't figure out your spiritual gift just by looking at your aptitudes. I've known people, I've had pastors in my past that trotted out an aptitude test and gave it to everybody, and said that, you know, to give you like a questionnaire to determine your spiritual gifts. Well, that's silly. How could you do that? Especially if people aren't walking in the Spirit. How can you take an aptitude test? No, it comes when we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. When we seek the Lord. And you don't, I'll just say this, you don't even have to, there's nowhere in the Bible where it says you have to know what it is. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. If you and I yield to the Spirit, it'll show itself up. Now, if we're not seeing the impact of gifts like that, of any gifts, then what's the problem? It's not our lack of knowledge, it's our lack of willingness to yield to the Spirit of God. That's where the problem is. You know, on the day of Pentecost, how many of them took a course to figure out which gift they had? Where do you see that anywhere in the Scripture? You don't see that, do you? They didn't have to learn it. It just manifested itself, didn't it? That's the way it's supposed to be. And they have purposes. And yep, there's a lot we could talk about spiritual gifts, and we could go through it and go through it in much more detail. But the first thing I want you to understand is, you know, these gifts that are manifest there, that things that are the big outward manifestation, they're not all the same. Not all are apostles. That's a gift. Not all are prophets. That's a gift. Not all are teachers, pastors and teachers. Those are particular gifts, not just in the sense of a spiritual gift, but they're also offices, aren't they? They're callings. They have a different thing. But then there's other gifts too, aren't there? Governments, helps, We could talk about all those things, but nobody ever talks about them, do they? I mean, we just look at the scriptures and we look at what they say. We see all the talk about spiritual gifts, and it's all over the map, isn't it? People got 1,000 ideas. I've even watched people. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they begin to teach them to speak in tongues. Well, if that's a gift that God's given you, why would any man need to teach you? But you know, we sit here and shake our heads about it, and we sit there and we rightly talk about it, but you know what then we do? We turn up our nose at the Spirit of God and say, I'm not going to be a part of that type of stuff. I'm not going to be a part of those excesses. I don't want you to be part of excesses. I just want you to be filled with the Spirit, because you need that. It's given to you to profit with all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out the Sunday school time. Father, thank you for your love and your kindness and your mercy. I just pray you'd help me to be clear as I preach the Word of God. And Lord, I just pray you'd open the eyes of each person here. Lord, we need to be Spirit-filled Christians. Help us to do what we're supposed to do. And help us to say yes to you. Help us to just yield our heart and our bodies. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to become what we're supposed to be. And Lord, that people could see that there's profit in serving the Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.